Say, kids, what time is it?
It's time for Charles Rotblat, editor of the American Association of Individual Investors Journal.
Holy mackerel!
Each week on Tuesdays, Charles joins us here on Money Life to give us the buy of the week.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And now, here's Charles Rotblat.
Sir, do we get to win this time?
Yep, joining us each week at this time, it is Charles Rotblat. He is the editor of AAII Journal. He's also the author of Better Good Than Lucky. And if you are trying to be good rather than lucky, you might want to get involved with the American Association of Individual Investors. Great organization, regional chapters that do some terrific meetings, and then they have things like the AAII Journal, which Charles runs. You can get information at AAII.com. You can follow Charles on Twitter, at Charles Rotblat. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Our buy of the week is
Thomson Reuters.
Thomson Reuters, which is ticker symbol TRI. And I should point out, I have a daughter named Thomson, spelled the same way, T-H-O-M-S-O-N. Although no relation to Thomson Reuters, I should also point out they're one of the biggest competitors for MarketWatch. So like everybody that I know probably is mixed emotions for why this would be the buy of the week. But obviously you're saying good things about our competition. So why?
Sure. And we're actually customers of Thomson Reuters. And it's very hard to go throughout the financial industry and not find someone who doesn't have some type of connection to the company, either as a competitor or as a customer. But this is a stock we actually looked at for our dividend investing portfolio. And the reason we passed on it is that it's because a Canadian company. They do actually have a nice dividend yield, which is why I'm putting it out. It yields 3.8%. But just to get the big thing out of the way, if you're an American investor, you can invest in Canadian-listed companies, get their dividends, and get the same tax treatment here as you do in Canada. There's a tax treaty between the two countries. And that only applies if you hold the stock in a taxable account. If you hold it in a tax-sheltered account, such as an IRA or Roth IRA, you don't have to worry about the taxes at all. But if you're an American investor, you can still get the qualified rates because it does count as a qualified dividend. But we're running a tax-friendly portfolio. And for someone who's looking at the stock thinking, well, Charles just mentioned a nice yield, think about whether or not you want to deal with a tax issue, because that does vary by person.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the tax treatment, that's one issue. But as you pointed out, the real issue is you want that dividend flow. What about the valuations here? I mean, you're always about finding opportunity, and dividends are not just enough. So there's got to be a little more to this than just the dividend payout.
There is. And if you look at the PE that's reported on it, it's very high because on a reported basis, the earnings are actually pretty low for 2013. I've used Thomson Reuters adjusted numbers. They're actually a little bit higher, but we show a lower number. But the key here is you're looking at a company that's in a turnaround situation. And although this company has been around for many years, they're really trying to wring out efficiencies out of the business. And they do think on an adjusted basis they can increase earnings by an entire dollar per share between now and 2017. They listed adjusted EPS for last year's $1.83. They think they can get it up to $2.80 per share by 2017. And the way they're going to do that is they're looking to make business more efficient, rely more on technology where they can, and where possible, try and consolidate departments or have departments work together. This company, about 50% of its revenues come from the financial sector, supplying news and data. And a lot of people listening will know the company from that standpoint. But however, they're also very big in the legal market, particularly in North America. About a quarter of their revenues come from that. And they actually have the number one market share in the North American legal market. Smaller parts of the business include tax and accounting and global IP and science. But the big thing here is you're looking at their targeted. They're trying to get $400 million in annual savings by restructuring, and that's their goal. And if that happens, that should lead to earnings growth. That should also hopefully lead to stronger dividend growth as well, as they both realize more free cash flow and they use some of that money to buy back shares.
So what's a reasonable projection on the upside? I mean, obviously, you're getting paid to watch them go through the restructuring with a yield of 3.8 or what have you. And we've talked about dividend growth. So what's the upside on the stock price?
You know, it's pretty interesting because it's hard to value this company because when you look at its main competitors, Dow Jones and Bloomberg, you don't have great metrics to actually compare this company against and say, this is what a fair valuation is. However, it is in the printing and publishing services group, which gives us some type of benchmark there because that's essentially what they're in. Even though most of their stuff comes through digitally, they're still in this publishing group. The median price-to-book ratio for that industry is 2.1. Right now, the stock trades at a price-to-book of 1.8. So I think based on that and based on what they're trying to do, I think you could be looking at 15% upside in terms of the price, and you'd be getting a dividend of close to 4% on top of it. So a total return potentially over the next year nearing 20%.
And you threw in over the next year, so that gives me the answer on your time horizon here. You're thinking that they're not just going to do the cost cutting, but that it's going to have an immediate impact.
Yeah, I do. I think people are going to start realizing this is a turnaround situation. Obviously, we'll have to see what first quarter earnings look like. Those come out at the end of the month. And you do want to see confirmation they are making progress. But based on their forecast, and if their forecasts prove to be correct, I do think there's upside for the stock.
Quickly, is there anything that would scare you out of this? Is there any worry or anything where you go, okay, here's my caveat?
Yeah, I think because you're relying here on management forecasts, you want to make sure that they are progressing. If you start saying that they're backing out, that would be a consideration. The other thing is they have been consistently generating free cash flow. Even though free cash flow has varied, they've been very good about realizing it. If you see that turn negative without a corresponding improvement in margins, or at least a sign from management saying that free cash flow is negative because we have enhanced our investments in technology and we do expect a longer-term payoff from this, that would cause me to get out of the stock as well.
Right now, however, we're talking about getting into the stock because it's the buy of the week, and the stock we are talking about, Thomson Reuters. TRI. Yes, competitor to Dow Jones, which owns MarketWatch. They also own Lipper, so we turn to them all the time for mutual fund information and much, much more. And speaking of much, much more, well, you'll get much more from Charles Roteblatt tomorrow when he returns for the sell of the week. Charles, look forward to talking with you then.
I do as well.
Remember, you can get information about the AAII Journal at AAII.com. You can follow Charles on Twitter at Charles Roteblatt. We've just gotten started on the April 8th edition of Money Life. There's much, much more to go, including later on the Money Life Market Call with Malcolm Polly from Stewart Capital. Stick around, we're living the Money Life.